Greetings from Church of the Resurrection, and thank you for taking time to listen to this message. We hope you find this message meaningful and relevant. We invite you to join us in worship at any time. We are located just south of 135th Street between Roe and Nall Avenue in Leawood, Kansas. If you have any questions or comments, or you would like a DVD of this service, you may reach us by phone at 913-897-0120. Please ask for the Well Bookstore or visit our website at www.cor.org, where you will find a link for our catalog. And now, may you be blessed as you give attention to the reading of God's Word.
I'm going to invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word. Our scripture this evening comes from the book of Matthew, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where's the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to be shepherd of my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." We give thanks to God for his message and his word in scripture. You may be seated.
Last night was what some would say one of the more important games of the NFL season. I wonder if some of you watched the Patriots beat the New York Giants 38-35. Now, whether you're a Patriots fan or not, the fact that they've gone 16-0 in the regular season is somewhat of an accomplishment. And it's an amazing season. And I want to make a comparison between the season that the Patriots have had and the season that a team a little bit closer to home has had. The Chiefs have not done so well this season. And when I was on the way here, I heard the score was 7-3 and the Jets were leading. But I don't know what the final score is or if they're still playing right now. And for some of you may think, well, maybe they're going to end the season on a win and that's going to be a good thing. Get a little confidence for next year. And maybe some of you are thinking, well, maybe they just need to lose so we can get a better draft pick next year. In either case, I want you to think about that. Both of these teams started the season in the same way. Actually, any team that begins a season has hopes of the postseason. They have hopes of winning, of having a winning record, of winning a lot of games, or maybe of going to the playoffs, winning the championship. At the beginning of the season, everyone starts off with the same hopes and dreams. I wonder what it's like for you. What about in the year 2007? We're nearing the end of the year. What did the year start off like for you? What were you hoping for in 2007? What happened that you weren't expecting? Maybe there's things that you were expecting that did come to happen, or maybe they happened in a little bit different way than you were hoping. Today we're going to consider the story of the wise men. We're going to look at how they were on a faithful journey, how they started out and they weren't quite sure where they were going, but they were faithful in following that journey. And then they worshiped Jesus. We'll consider how they worshiped Jesus, and finally we'll look at how they were ready for the future. And we'll think about some ways that we might be ready for the future to start 2008 in a whole new year. All right, I just want to remind you of the story that happened up to this point. The story that we have is that Mary and Joseph Mary's given birth. Joseph has been there, but Mary's the one giving birth to the baby Jesus in the stable in Bethlehem. And they are there, and the shepherds have come to visit them, we've heard this part of the story. And then we come to the scripture that we read today, where it talks of three magi The scripture says magi, but you may be more familiar with wise men or kings. And they come and worship Jesus. As Lance said earlier, this trip probably took 2 years, so we think that Jesus wasn't an infant, a very infant at this time, but maybe about 2 years old at this time. And it's kind of a strange story. Now, I want you to just imagine this for you, maybe in your own home. Maybe you have a child, or maybe you know of someone who has a child. And what would it be like if you were in your home and you had your child, the child was playing there in the middle of the floor, and suddenly you heard a knock on the door, and you think to yourself, were we expecting anyone? I'm not sure if we were expecting visitors. And you go to the door, and there's people there that you've never seen before, and they look as if they're from a different country, and they're dressed in ways that you wouldn't understand, that they seem rather strangely dressed, and they walk in, and the first thing that they do is go up to your child and kneel down and present gifts, amazing rich gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, which what are those anyway? But just imagine what this must have been like for Mary and Joseph. I think it would have been a very strange experience. But these wise men have an important part of the story. Before we continue that, let's think about who they were. Who were these people that we read in the story? The word that's used for them in the scripture is magi. And that word magi is translated just like that. It's also understood as kings, could be understood as kings, or could be translated as wise men. Now, it's likely that they were not kings. They were not not kings or royalty, but they were of a particular priestly social class. And this was a class of priests that lived in mostly in Persia. We think likely that they came from Persia. And they came a long distance to Jerusalem and to the baby Jesus. They were astrologers as well. They saw the stars and they studied the stars. And this is how they came to know about Jesus' birth. They say that they saw the star that's rising and they've come to worship him. Also, we're not sure about the number of wise men. The song that we sing suggests that there were three of them. But really, that's just three gifts that we have. And we really don't know if there were more than that, or maybe there were less than that. The scriptures don't give us an answer. They do say that there were three gifts, or they name at least three gifts, but they don't always tell us how many there were. So these characters are a little mysterious, and some would suggest even that there's the story of the three magi may just be an illustration or a way of understanding the story in a different way. And in this case, we know that the story is important to the gospel writer Matthew. For Matthew, as you'll see, as you remember, the scripture read just a very brief mention of the birth taking place. But what we have in Matthew is a long genealogy that tells all the generations that have come before Jesus. And then just a very brief birth story. And then we have this story of the Magi. So what does this mean for us today? Let's take a closer look at the story. The wise men arrived in Jerusalem. They first come to Jerusalem, which was the social and political and cultural capital of the world at that time. Actually, of that area of Judea. It would have been like New York City as a cultural or financial center and Washington, D.C. as a political center, all in one place. So the wise men have traveled from a far distant country and they have come to Jerusalem. And we know that they're not really sure where they're going. Because the first question that they ask when they arrive in Jerusalem is where? Where is the one that is to be born king of the Jews? So they've traveled all this distance, probably 2 years, several months or years, and they're not even quite sure where they're going. In this, we see some of the faithfulness in their journey. Now, when they arrive in Jerusalem, they ask about the king of the Jews, and this causes a big problem in the city, as you might imagine, for there's already a king. King Herod is there, and he is the king of Judea and Jerusalem and king of the Jews. He would understand himself to be the king of the Jews. So who are these people looking for? When Herod hears the news that they're looking for a new king, he's very disturbed. And he goes to them and he says, you know, who are you looking for? They say, we're looking for the king of the Jews that's just been born. Where is he? And so Herod goes and consults his priests and the scribes and the scholars, and they say, they quote Micah 5:2, which says that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. And so Herod thinks, all right, well, I got this figured out. These three people are coming to look, or these persons are coming to look for the new Messiah, the new king. So he tells them, go and find this king, and then come back and tell me, so that I also may go and worship him. We know from later in the story that Herod was not actually hoping to worship Jesus, but he was hoping to instead kill him. So the kings, you see, as they come into Jerusalem, cause a great deal of anxiety and disturbance there in the city. And we'll see that the story of the wise men takes a turn here. For up to this point, they have followed the star. They're astrologers, and they followed this star, and they've found it all the way to Jerusalem. But at this point in the story, they receive guidance from a different direction. They get guidance from Herod, who in turn gets guidance from the scriptures. And so we see that their lives and their direction is no longer just shaped by their own actions. Their lives are now shaped by someone else. And it's shaped by the scriptures as well. When I was in college, I was a biology major. And I thought I was going to study, I was studying biology, I thought I was going to be a researcher. And I thought I would go into, work in a lab, discover the cure to cancer, I think what a lot of idealistic biology students would want to do. But the summer before my senior year, I found, I did an internship where I got to do that all day, every day. And I found out I was good at it, I could do it, but I couldn't see myself doing that for the rest of my life. So I came back to college the fall of my senior year and really wondering what was next for me. And at a campus ministry retreat, I was reading through the stories of Jesus calling the disciples. And in the Gospel of John, John the Baptist and a few of his followers are standing there. And they see Jesus walk by. And they say, "Look, there's the Lord." And they go up to him and they say, "Where are you staying?" And he says, "Come and see." And in that story, I heard my own question of, well, what would theological education be like? What would seminary be like? And the response was, "Come and see." A few weeks later, I had an experience. I was working at a church, a local church there, and the youth, as part-time youth director, and the full-time director that was there, she was an older woman, and she had just recently been hired on staff. And she came to me after one of our meetings, and she said at the very end of the meeting, she said, "Is this biology degree just something to go on and do something else? Are you hoping to be a pastor one day?" And I stopped and I said, "What did you say?" For we hadn't ever talked about what my hopes and dreams were for the future. But in that person, in that story, she made an impact on my direction. And through a series of events that fall, helped shape the direction of my life. I wonder if there's people in your story, the story of your life, the story of your faith that have helped shape you. I think that there's times when we can follow our own guidance, but there's times when we listen to God. And I wonder who those people are in your life that seem to speak for God, or those who help guide you on your journey. As we continue following the story of the kings, we follow them to Bethlehem. And when they reach the place where Jesus is, they enter the house and they fall down and they worship him. And they bring him the gifts that they have brought, and they give him these three precious gifts: gold, something that would be fit for a king; frankincense, an essential oil that would be a symbol of royalty and majesty; and then myrrh, which was a gum-like resin that would be used in embalming and would foreshadow Jesus' death and resurrection. And they fall down and they give everything that they have to God. They give everything that they have to Jesus. And they worship him. And that's what we're here tonight for. We all gathered in this place to worship Jesus, to seek to follow after him, and to be present with God in this place. And so we see mirrored in the story of the Magi our own story, a story of worship, a story of faithfully following where we want God, where we think God wants us to go, and worshiping God along the way. Finally, the last sentence in this story, they said, "And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." And this is really where I think the story is incredible and really quite, I can't quite understand it. Because these wise people, these magi, have traveled a long way. And maybe you've taken a long journey, a road trip, and you go one direction on the highway, and then usually you're going to head back the same direction. And these magi are warned in a dream, and they don't go back to Herod, and instead they go back to their own country by another route. So they've come to the capital city. They've talked to the most powerful person in that country, and he sends them off in one direction and gives them explicit instructions to come back and tell him where the Messiah is so that he might come and worship them as well. But the Magi had been warned in a dream and decide to go back a different way. I wonder what that must have been like. The direction, or that brief sentence that describes this big change in their course of action, This brief sentence that describes a change of the course of Jesus' life. For we hear later that Herod hears that the kings have gone back to the country by another route. And he actually orders that all those in Bethlehem are killed. But by this time, Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus have escaped to Egypt. So we see in this story, in this listing of the dream by the Magi, that Jesus is spared at this place in his life. The Magi were on a faithful journey. They saw the light of the star and decided to follow. They had been following the star for months or even years, and they weren't even exactly sure where they were going, but they were faithful in following the light. The wise men came down and worshiped Jesus. They worshiped him when they arrived there. They gave all that they had. They gave the precious gifts that they had brought, and they laid it before him. And finally, the wise men, these Magi, were prepared for the future. They were ready for whatever might happen. They were even ready to change their plans and go back in a different route, a way that was probably unfamiliar to them, and a route that was open to what God might have for them in the future. I want to tell you the story of a woman named Alice. Alice grew up in central Kansas, and she became a teacher. And while she was a teacher, she taught seventh graders, mostly seventh graders and sometimes eighth graders. And she said that seventh graders were her favorite age to teach, because at that age, they were still angels. And in my interactions with the seventh graders, I'm not sure what yours is like. I'm not sure if I would always characterize all the seventh graders that I meet as angels. But in her story of her telling about these interactions, I began to see that for myself. And I also saw in her the patience and the faithfulness of being interacting with these people over time. Alice was always active in church. She was present in worship every weekend, unless she was sick or out of town. And as she lived in the same town for most of the years of her life, she had a particular seat in which she would sit, and she was there every weekend. She was there all the time. And she would arrive before anyone else would arrive, and she would have her seat, and she would be faithful in worship. As she began to grow older, she began to lose wasn't able to do all that she was able to do in her younger years, and the faithfulness, her faithfulness and her desire to be at church was there, but she wasn't always able to be there for when it was bad weather, when there was ice on the roads. She wasn't able to drive, and eventually she wasn't able to renew her driver's license. And for those who were able to give her a ride, sometimes they weren't always able to make the schedule meet. So her desire was there to be in church, but as the years went on, she wasn't able to be there every week. But this long, faithful journey continued. About 1.5 years ago, she was no longer able to take care of herself in her home. And she was moved to a care home and a care facility. And there she still continued her faithful journey. She was the life of that place. She would tell the nurses and all those around her exactly what she thought. And with what energy she had left, she brought life to that place. And then finally, she reached, here in 2007, she reached her 99th birthday. And she was ready for the future. She was ready for whatever might come. For she'd planned her funeral several times, actually, over the years. And she had 2 or 3 versions of what that would be like. She was ready for what the future might hold. Ready for what she knew would eventually come in her life. Ready for her final destination with God. Alice died last Friday. And she was my grandmother. And in her story, I see a story of a life that was long and faithful. My father was able to visit with her a few hours before her death last Friday, and she tells a story that in those last hours, he would reach out his hand, and he would lay it on her. He would touch her hand or touch her shoulder, and she would kind of shiver away. She would step back from that. And his first interpretation was that she didn't want to be touched or that it was painful to touch her skin. But my mother gave another interpretation for that perhaps it wasn't that she didn't want to be touched, but maybe that she didn't want to be held back from going on to what she knew was next. Alice knew what was coming, and she was ready for the future. Your journey may include similar stories. There may be people in your life that you look at them and you see in them a picture of someone who's been faithful over a long time, You may look at other people in your lives, or you may look at someone in your own family and see this is someone who worships God faithfully. They are close with God, and their relationship is just amazing. And you might know people who are ready for the future, whatever that might be, ready for whatever comes next. I'd like to invite you now to think about who are these people? Who are these people that made a difference in your life? And who are they that have made a difference in your spiritual journey? I invite you to just take a minute now and write down some names on your sermon notes. Who are these people that have made an impact on your life? I wonder who would write your name down if they were asked a similar question. Whose life are you helping to shape? Whose lives are you a part of that you're making a difference in their world? Who are you helping along their journey of faith? In the story of the wise men, we see people who have been faithful over a long journey, and they're not sure what that destination is, but they've been faithful over a long time. We see people who worship God, who worship Jesus, and just lay down everything that they have before Him. And we see people that are ready for the future. And so what does that look like for us? How can we be ready for the future? We hear the story of the Magi and think, well, they had a dream, and that helped them shape the future, but I don't think I have dreams like that. I'm not sure what that would be like to have a dream and understand that as God's speaking to me and shaping my life. Well, I think that one of the ways that we open ourselves to God's presence is through the covenant prayer that we prayed earlier, through the covenant song that we sang, and opening ourselves to whatever God would have for us. That prayer was written by John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, and there's another way that John Wesley helped people understand how to be ready for the future. He wrote a series of questions, and these questions help people think about, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be faithful? Where am I on my journey of faith? And what are some next steps? You'll find these questions listed in your study guide, and we're going to take a minute here to reflect on them. And I invite you to think about ways that you are listening for God. Like the wise men, we can't always be sure about the destination, but we can be ready for the future. We can be ready for the future that God has for us. So as we see these on the video screen, I invite you to respond to these questions and listen for God. as we prepare to begin a whole new year, know that God is with you on the journey. That God is there to guide you no matter where you are in your journey of faith, no matter where you are in your journey of life, that God is with you. That God can help you prepare for the future. And as we worship God, know that the power of the Holy Spirit is with us to guide us today and each day. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for your presence with us. We're thankful that you are faithful on our journey, no matter where it might be taking us. Lord, as we worship you, we ask that you help us to be ready for the future, to be ready for a new year, to be ready for what you have for our lives. Lord Jesus, help us to be a part of your dream for the world. Guide us, protect us, and watch over us today and always. Amen.